Hello and welcome to the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health in Conversation podcast. I'm Ella Rhodes, and recently I spoke to Dr. Ginny Russell, whose research has explored what the trends in the diagnosis of autism can really tell us about the prevalence of autism spectrum disorders. Hi Ginny, thank you for joining us today on the In Conversation podcast. I was just going to start, you've had a really fascinating career path. Would you just be able to tell us how you've kind of gone from the BBC to becoming a researcher?
Yeah, it does sound unusual, I realise, but I started off at the BBC's Natural History Unit, and I actually got really interested in science documentaries and science more generally. So I spent about 10 years working for them and for other broadcast companies on science documentaries as a researcher. So in fact, the change from that to academic research hasn't been quite as dramatic as it sounds on paper, perhaps.
What sort of programmes were you working on there, Ginny? Could you give us some examples of the sort of research you had to do there?
I started off doing work at the Natural History Unit, so that was where, you know, David Attenborough works, obviously. So most of the stuff, I worked on a programme called The Really Wild Show. I don't know if you remember that. That was good fun. Yeah, depends. If you're of a certain age, you might remember that one. And then I moved on to doing more out-and-out science. So one of the programmes I worked on was about, do you remember the comet that came, Hale-Bopp?
Oh, that comet, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I worked on astronomy programs. So I worked on one, for example, on the chances of the Earth being hit by an asteroid collision, which was called 3 Minutes to Impact for Discovery Channel. And that won an Emmy, which was great, which is a kind of TV Oscar. So the work I was doing on that involved a lot of travel around the world. And we did things like looking at the crater in the Yucatan, which is in Mexico, which is the crater that they now believe caused the demise of the dinosaurs, because the current thinking is that the dinosaurs were wiped out by the impact of a large asteroid back in the Jurassic period, at the end of the Jurassic period. So those are the kind of things I was doing back then. And obviously, it's a different kind of science, but still researching science.
Wow, that's I remember the Really Wild Show very fondly, actually, Ginny. That's quite exciting for me. What happened next then? So is that when you moved on to the University of Exeter?
Yeah, the reason that I switched careers at that point was because I had a baby, and it was just impractical to keep travelling the globe and have a family at the same time. So I had to find a job that meant I stayed in the same place, and specifically in Exeter, which is where my partner's based. So that's why I did a kind of communications role at the university for several years. And then I just got really interested in doing a PhD and an academic career, because I found that the work of the academics that I was working with was really interesting and wanted to move into that. So that's how my trajectory developed.
And then you moved into researching autism, is that right?
Mm, yeah.
What's some of your research kind of telling us about trends in autism diagnosis?
Well, I mean, autism is one of those conditions, a bit like ADHD and other neurodevelopmental conditions of childhood, that has seen a massive increase in the number of children that are diagnosed. So the first prevalence studies on autism were done back in the late 60s and early 70s. Lotta's first study in the UK of prevalence of autism showed that only 1 in 2,500 children were autistic at that time, or were thought of as autistic, whereas the latest figures show that around 1 in 100 or even less children, the very latest figures that were published this January in the States in a letter to JAMA, show that around 1 in every 39 children now has or is reported as having an autism diagnosis. So there's been a kind of exponential increase in the number of children that have this diagnosis. And the big question is why? So some of my research has been tackling that question. Why is it that we've seen such a big increase in the diagnosis of autism through time? And the controversy is really around whether the effect is a real increase. So are there more children with autism now, or is it just an artifact of better recognition, different ways of measuring prevalence, shifts in the diagnostic criteria, and those kind of artifactual things that are really all about changes to how diagnosis is done. So there are two camps. There are people who very much argue that there isn't any increase in the actual numbers of children who have autism, and there are other people that argue, particularly parent groups, that in fact there is a real change and there are more children who have these types of difficulties these days than previously. And it's really an unresolved debate. So some of the work that I've done in the past has tried to answer those questions and address those questions.
And what kind of things have you found, or what conclusions can you draw from what you've observed?
Well, one of the studies that we did that was published a year or two ago compared levels of symptoms in two cohorts. One was in 1998 and one was in 2008. So there was a 10-year gap between the time when the levels of symptoms were measured. And we did actually find there was an increase in behaviours, autistic behaviours, between those two cohorts. From 1998 to 2008, there was a jump in the levels of symptoms that were observed. But even though that might suggest that there are more children with autism in the later cohort than there were in the earlier cohort, because we measured at the same age, which was age 7, that's not necessarily the case, because those symptoms that were described were parent-reported. So again, it might just be an artifact of parents reporting them more frequently. We didn't really resolve the very controversial debate in that particular study. We attempted to, but we couldn't really tell whether the increase that we observed was to do with parents just knowing more about autism symptoms and reporting them more often to the people that ran the cohorts, or whether there was a real increase. So, in fact, that just kind of led us to think, well, we need to do more work rather than having a conclusive answer to this debate.
And I mean, it's obviously a really important question to unravel. I mean, you've mentioned some already, but could you talk about some of the challenges there are in this kind of research, especially around autism spectrum disorders?
Well, one of the challenges is that the understanding of autism itself has changed through time. So to kind of do a comparison between one time point and another time point is very difficult. And that's often because there aren't like-for-like measures, because the way that people have understood and measured things has changed itself. And when I talk about changing understandings of autism and of ADHD and different types of childhood behavioural conditions, there's been a shift from what was formerly behaviours that were formerly understood, well, certainly in the 60s, in a kind of psychodynamic, psychoanalytic model, to a kind of understanding of them as being a very neuro-based or neurodevelopmental disorder model. So, and that's, with that has come a kind of difference in emphasis. So previously, parents themselves might have been blamed for their children's unruly behaviour. Now, perhaps autism and ADHD are described more as diagnoses of forgiveness, where instead of a child being understood as a child that is a problem, they are seen as a child that has a problem. So the attribution for their behaviour has shifted from the parent's responsibility to the responsibility of maybe a brain-based understanding. And that's also meant that parents might perhaps be more likely to opt for those types of diagnoses, especially as they unlock resources like special educational needs provision. And researchers in the States like Shattuck have talked about diagnostic substitution, where in the past there might have been a diagnosis made such as mental retardation. Now more resources are targeted at autism and ADHD diagnosis, and that might encourage more people to opt for those types of diagnoses. So clinicians and parents might be more likely to adopt those types of diagnoses. So one of the things I'm doing with my group here in Exeter at the moment is looking at what are the kind of social factors that are predicting diagnosis, but also it's very difficult to separate the process of diagnosis from the sort of social determinants and the context and the cultural situation that we're in at the moment. So it is a very challenging set of questions to answer when you're trying to, you know, untangle what's real from what's just an artifact of cultural and contextual stuff. And I don't think it's really possible to do that. We have to think about what are the social influences when we think about, you know, what's real and what's not real in a diagnostic debate.
Moving on to your talk at the ACAM conference in June, what can people expect from your talk on the day? And, you know, who do you think would benefit from coming along?
Well, I think I'll be talking about these kinds of things. I'll certainly be talking about the increasing diagnosis of autism over time and why that's happened and what are the possible explanations for why that's happened. And I think anybody with an interest in autism, that could be a clinician, a parent, or even a practitioner of it, like a speech and language therapist, anyone who is in that community, that what we might call the autism community more widely, which would include researchers, practitioners, clinicians, as well as parents and people themselves who have autism, might be interested to hear that story.
It sounds like an event that's going to interest a huge amount of people, Jenny. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to meeting you again.
Jenny will be speaking at the Jack Tizard Memorial Lecture and Conference, which takes place on Thursday the 7th and Friday the 8th of June at the Royal College of Physicians. The conference topic is Expert Analysis, New Research, What Works. The first day will concentrate on intellectual disability, whilst the second will be on autism. For more details, visit www.acamh.org and use the hashtag ACAMHTizard18. Thanks for listening.